Good evening, everyone. It's so good to see you. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Bonnie Rome. I'm the Starting Point Coordinator, which most of you should know me, but there may be some that don't. I just want to welcome you to week 10 of Grow Track 2. As you guys are continuing on your last sections of Grow Track 2, this is exciting. You what have two more weeks left? Is that right? I hope you guys know what you got left. If you haven't checked in, make sure you guys get checked in, especially with your table hosts, so we can count for everybody. This week, you guys had a memory verse. Who knows their memory verse and can quote it? Who said? Oh, Larry. Go ahead. All right, there we go. Congratulations. It pays to memorize scripture, right? Has anyone been able to do or work on their reading for this week and use their soap journals as you're studying? Does anybody want to share any observations from what they read? Go ahead. You know, I just read, you know, I saw the scripture here, and I just went ahead and read through most of that. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what I know the scripture was at verse 8, as it talks about. What was one of the things that kind of stood out? Anybody? What is Paul trying to communicate to the Corinthians? Exactly. And he said he's just to, you know, to imitate what they're doing, right, for Christ. And I tell you, what Paul and Apollos and several of the other disciples, what they've had to go through is nothing. I mean, I just praise God that we haven't had to go through some of that they did. But there's one other thing in here I just saw that I thought that was really cool. It says, I got to find it here now that I... Well, I'm not going to catch it here. Well, he's basically just saying, I urge you to imitate me because of what he's doing for Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is going, taking the scriptures, learning what it says, and applying it to our daily lives. So I just want to pray or say, if you guys are going through the scriptures, every time you open up the Word of God, just pray. And I know they've probably been telling you that already, but there's times that I sit down and I can't even focus or concentrate. And I'll just say, Lord, settle my brain down. Slow it down so I can absorb what you have for me. And just pray over that before you start reading. And you'll be amazed how he just starts opening up the word to you in a way that you might not have received it if you did it in a hurry. You know, so sometimes it's good just to sit down, slow down, ask the Lord to just touch your mind and open your heart to everything he has. I'm going to cover a couple announcements for you guys. On April 24th, 2 weeks from tonight, they're going to have a great big Grow Track celebration. We've never done this, so this is going to be the first time we're bringing all three Grow Tracks together, and it's going to be a celebration. They're going to do a potluck meal, so at each table, there's going to be a sign-up for you to bring a dish. So if you wouldn't mind writing down tonight, if you can, what items you might be able to bring so that they can get that all together. Also, this Sunday is water baptism, so if you haven't been water baptized, or you have someone in your family that's wanting to be water baptized, just go online to timbercreekchurch.com/water baptism and get signed up. Candace will be glad to get you guys more information and just celebrate in all that. Last reminder, it's the men's summit and the women's conference. Please sign up ASAP. I think the men's last sign up is on, is it Sunday? I think it's Sunday. So please do that. There's nothing better than going together in a group to a conference. I'm going to just share a little bit. Pastor Stephen had asked me to share a little bit about taking next steps. Besides being the starting point coordinator, I'm the next steps coordinator. And what that is about is helping you all take the right next steps, whether it is on a dream team, making sure you guys are getting plugged into grow tracks or encounters or groups. We have lots of people coming in constantly wondering, what do I do? Where do I go next? Of course, the first step is what? Starting point. That's why you guys are all here. You've had to go through starting point to get to where you are now. And it's really to help people see and know what their God-given potential is. One of the things that we'll be talking about, or Pastor Stephen will be talking about towards the end of class, is dream teams. I believe after Grow Track 2, that is one of the requirements, is for everybody to get on a dream team. And there's so many benefits on getting on a dream team, getting on the right dream team, I want to say. Because there's been some that have gotten on a dream team and it just wasn't where they were meant to be. And let me just say, if there's anyone here that just feels like they're not using their God-given potential in the right areas, please talk to me or talk to your ministry leader. A lot of times there may be other areas within that ministry that would be the perfect fit. Last year, this time I was in here with a Grow Track 2, and I mentioned that, and I actually had two ladies afterwards tell me that they basically hated where they were, or they really didn't like what they were doing. And I was like, well, did you tell your ministry leader? They said, no. I said, you've got to communicate, you know. And I said, they'd be glad to help you. And sometimes it could be lack of training. It could be just not the right fit. Well, after talking with them, talking to their leader that next week, they were shocked because they were so good at what they did, but yet they didn't like it. They were getting to the point they were resenting. And I hate to say that, but that can happen. And right away, after talking with them, talking to the leader, we got them on the right team, and they flourished. They loved it. It was just a whole new attitude. And so I just want to state, if you guys ever get into an area, and it could be that you've been doing it for a long time and you need a change, or it could be that you've gotten on a team and it's just not what you expected, please talk to your leaders. If not, talk to me. Part of my job as a Next Steps coordinator, I have a Next Steps follow-up team that help follow up. We're trying to. We're building this huge ministry, or this ministry to help follow up and get people into the right areas. And so we truly want to help everyone take the right next steps. A couple of things I just want to say about serving that I love is when you serve, you impact others through serving. That's just simple and easy. Connection happens. You start to develop relationships with one another. Fellowship, camaraderie within the team, accountability. There's times that we need someone around us that can encourage us and kind of help us, especially if we know things are kind of not going right. You know, come alongside. Say, hey, what's going on? I love you. I want to help you, you know. Encourage them. You'll develop the skills and your talents. I remember one of the ladies that came on my team, it's been at least a year and a half ago, and she was just doing a fabulous job. And I was like, you know what? You'd make a great team leader. And she's like, no, I can't do that. And I said, yes, you can. And just walking with her, and once she became a team leader, she just loved it and did a fantastic job. And sometimes there's a little bit of fear of stepping out and being stretched. And I want to encourage you guys, God's given each of you different gifts, different talents, and he wants you to be using them. And all we ask here at the church is if you just commit to at least twice a month. You know, that's an hour and a half each time, basically, is what we serve. Hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at the max. To give of your time, because Jesus did that as an example. I found this scripture I love. Matthew 20:28 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus even did it by an example. But also, there's so many others that could be impacted by you. Some of you may think, well, what can I do? Let me tell you, there's so many different opportunities. At your table, I guess when you guys will have your group work, they'll be passing this out. I have the different group, the different dream team opportunities for you guys to kind of look over. There is a form or a spreadsheet that your host has, and just hold on to it until after the end of the class. All the yellows, that tells me something. Those yellows represent either I don't have a dream team packet on you, which in reality means I probably don't have your spiritual gifts, which means you probably didn't take your test. You could have, but I don't have the results. And let me say something about this. When we put these in the system, a lot of times we are looking at that, especially when people are asking, like some of our leaders, some of our pastors are inquiring about someone they're wanting to pull on their team. And we're like, oh my gosh, they've got this, this, and this. And it's encouraging because we really want to have people fit that area of ministry that best fits their potential. And so I am lacking some of these, even in some of our leaders. And there's a few people that have been here for a long time that might have gone through the old membership that we don't have record of some of that stuff, okay? So I want to challenge you or encourage you to please do whatever it takes to get this information. I'll be here at the end of class to help you guys also. I'm trying to think here. What time do I have? I just want to make sure you guys realize that anytime you guys have questions, concerns, whether it's on a dream team or even just, I'm not sure what I need to do. I mean, I've had people come through GrowTrax and even call me later on going, I just don't really know where I need to go from here. Of course, our pastors can help. Your GrowTrax leaders can help. But that's one of my jobs and I love to do is to get with people to help them find the right fit. So don't hesitate to holler at me. You can call the church anytime. Probably several of you probably have my cell phone. Message me on Facebook. It doesn't matter. But I just want to encourage you guys that we are truly here to help you, not just to get you on a dream team, but to make sure that your God-given potential is being utilized by God right where you need to be. And anywhere that we can help. Also, I just want to make sure if you're so busy serving that you're not growing, then that also tells me something's not right, meaning that there might be some imbalancing. And so I just want to make sure some of you that love to serve may try to serve in two or three or four different areas. That's not healthy, okay? So we do want to help you guys get in the right areas. And use your God-given potential. I'm going to go ahead and pass this off to Pastor Stephen. I know he's going to be talking tonight on trust and obedience, and I know that's going to be awesome. Oh, Jeremiah, I'm sorry. I didn't even see you. I wasn't paying attention. So I'm going to pass this off to Jeremiah. I almost called you Pastor Jeremiah. There we go. That's,
well, we don't want to do that yet. Whew. Don't want to do that. I'll have to stop talking about movies and stuff all the time, I guess. Okay. Last week, I prefaced it. I told you what we're going to do. I told you what we're going to require from you. Just by a show of hands, and who wants to be, like, just flat out honest, who's in the yellow? Miss Bonnie mentioned, like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Then we got some work to do, paperwork on our end, and it's all our fault. So, no, wait, Shane got me. Hey, so let me ask another question. Who's in the yellow on purpose? Who's in the yellow because they actually didn't do their stuff? Anybody? I'm just kidding. I've done mine. I was just trying to make fun of somebody feel better so they would be like, okay. I know. I raised my hand. And then, no, you know the thing is, nobody followed me, though. Nobody was like, okay. All right, so you haven't done it at all? Come on, Steve. All right. Well, look, I know this seems like more work, and how can these assessments really tell me who I am? And I've been online, and I've done one of those personality tests to see what kind of person I am. Or like back in the day, you were in a magazine, and you took the little personality quiz, and I see some people like, yeah. And those lied. I'm totally not that person. No, but these things really do help, and they really help you to see the giftings and the callings and the attributes that God's put inside of you. I'm telling you, these things work. And it's important that we start trying to seek God in this way. I mean, if nothing else, it's a great way for us to start self-reflection. And I know, nobody wants to take self-inventory. Nobody wants to start reflecting on themselves. Has anybody here taken applied for a job, and there's always those questions, like they'll ask you, okay, list 5 things that you like about yourself, and then 5 things that you don't like about yourself. Has anybody done those like me? Yeah, I get to those, and yeah, and I'm weird. I have a problem finding strengths in myself. I can put my weaknesses for some reason in those things, and I don't know why that is, that it's kind of opposite. You would think you'd be like, you'd have like 15 things that you're good at, and then you're like, why? N-A under the things that you're weak at, like totally not applicable, not weak in anything. Hire me, except for humility, and then they won't hire you because they know that you're lying and, you know, you're not truthful. But I had the problem with that. So doing these assessments, it really kind of helps to lay some groundwork and help you get comfortable just basically being honest with yourself. Because really, this isn't for anybody. I mean, anybody else necessarily in the onset. Now, like everything we do that pertains to God and in this life, it ultimately is about everybody else other than yourself, really. But in the onset, it's really teaching us to connect with ourselves and really be truthful and honest with ourselves, and then allow God to work within that and allow God to show us the things that he's placed on the inside of us that he wants to use. He wants to bring out, but we have to be willing to do that. So that's what these assessments help to do. I know, it's hard. It's hard to make yourself be honest about yourself, but I think that if y'all start this process, you're going to find that it's going to be very beneficial. So for those of y'all that have done it, I'm going to ask a couple questions and kind of get the ball rolling on this, because tonight really is about you. It's about you digging deep in this area. And so I want everybody to make an honest effort at this tonight. The first question I have, what were the results of your personality and spiritual gift assessments? You don't have to like go and read verbatim anybody, so I don't want to put any one person on the spot, but maybe give me some things that maybe stuck out to you that like, whoa, I didn't really see that in myself. Anybody have any of those moments when they're reading? Sir? Huh? Exhortation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, for people who aren't smart like me, what define exhortation? Oh, okay. Did you bring a definition? Oh, okay. I told you I haven't taken it. I'm just kidding. What do you got, Andrew? That's all right. I put him on the spot. The divine ability to encourage. Okay. I love that. As a matter of fact, it's kind of funny that you said that, because our team huddle before we started this whole thing was a lot about exhortation. You know, you come to the end of a session like we've been in and the end of a semester, and sometimes it can be difficult. Things start happening and you know, the consistency level goes down. But these are the times where we should rally around one another and really start exhorting one another and building each other up. So it's neat that you said that. And you found that to be something that you didn't expect to find?
No, it's probably best. I mean, because I'm not good at written words.
Okay. Sure.
So I got to do that in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, it can be. It doesn't have to be written. No. Yeah. Anybody else? I know I saw some other, like, almost hands. Anybody else? Kimberly? There we go. Hey, good. So you're pulling out those negatives. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking and stuff, but one of the things is that I can get so focused on the person and the thing that if I have a job to do, it's hard for me to kind of stay on track. You know? So, like,
oh,
it's hard to see the negatives too, though. To kind
sure.
Of acknowledge that that's a bent that your personality has. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing per se. It's just it's a bent that you have.
Sure. You use the word that I was thinking right now. We are only as strong as our unacknowledged weakness. And I'll say that again. We are only as strong as our unacknowledged weakness. Because weaknesses are not bad. And it's, man, this is really playing into what I walked into. I walked in and there was a good conversation going on about what God gives us and does he give us more than we can handle? Does he give us more than we can tolerate in this life? And I'm like, yeah, very much so. And the scripture doesn't read that we under our own power can do anything. It basically is talking about God, with the connection with God. Our weaknesses are made perfect because of his strength. And so, but if we don't acknowledge those weaknesses, that means nothing, because we have not taken that self-inventory and we don't have the self-awareness to actually grow, because we don't want to acknowledge those things. So I think that's a great draw from that assessment. And I think those are the things that we need to really be looking at. We need to see our weaknesses, but we don't need to let those things hang over us. We don't need to let those things define us and make us who we are. Those aren't the things that make us who we are. But we acknowledge them, and then God will make us perfect in those, you know, and he will fill the void or fill the gap in those areas. And so, and that's why we need him so much, you know. So it's really, that's neat. That's correct.
We don't worry about our weaknesses.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's very true. If we are focusing on the strengths and those God-given strengths that God has instilled in us and put inside of each and every person on the face of this planet, we don't have time to really dwell on those weaknesses. And especially if we're connected to God and we understand who God is, we know that he's got our back, you know? As long as we're staying connected to the vine, he's got our back. So those weaknesses, while they're there, and they can trip us up if we don't, you know, pay them any mind, you know, if we just let them grow, let those weeds grow. But if we're focused on the strengths that God's placed on the inside of us and walking out in those strengths and letting him grow us each day and doing more for him, yeah, we don't have time to let those things hang over us and trip us up. And you know what? Sometimes those things kind of, I hate to say, like some of my biggest weaknesses that I've had in my life, I found that over time, God has actually started to, And that's God's reverse economy. God has actually twisted those things that were weaknesses in my life and actually used them for good. And that's what he does. And so the things that I was so worried about, like I just can't do that. I can't do what you're asking me to do because of this or because of that. When I just trusted him, I just said, you know what? I trust you, God. I trust what you say. I trust that I can accomplish what you've told me to go accomplish. He turns those things that are weaknesses and he starts using them. And so that's such a neat thing. And No, it's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obedience. obedient and serving somewhere. And
sure.
Until he reveals to you where your niche is.
Yeah.
And so just being obedient and saying, okay, I don't have to know exactly. I just have to be obedient. And just narrows down kind of what my, you know, what are the best places that I can serve is. And you don't have to worry about it.
Sure. Community. And that actually answers this overall grand question. You know, people like we've had philosophers for like ever sit in Indian style, I guess, is what they do. And they, you know, they meditate and stuff. And they're like, what is the meaning of life? You know, and like they're all trying to philosophize. How do you say that? Anybody? I didn't go to school for very long. you know, they pondered. Let's use that word. They pondered. What is the meaning of life? What is it? And they're trying to come up with some grandiose, like elaborate meaning for life. And we've just dissected the meaning of life tonight. Done. Yes. Eat that, Gandhi. You know, like, done. We did it. It's relationship, it's community, it's relationship with God, and it's relationship with others. And then if you put these assessments in that scope and look at it with those lens, then you know why this is so important. Because this is the greatest thing that God has ever created us to do. It is to be in covenant with Him and in covenant with other people. And how do we do that? We use the God-given abilities and skills that He's given us to be in connection with one another and work in tandem with others that have strengths that I do not possess. And then I have strengths that they do not possess. And then we all come together for one goal, and that is to bring more people to know the love of Christ and bring more people to perpetuate the cycle of evangelism. That's what this is about tonight. This is important stuff. I joke about it a little bit, and we make light of some of these things in here. This is the absolute most important thing that you can have at the forefront of your mind every single day. If you're not walking through your day and using these things that God is showing you through assessments like this to say, how can I be a witness or how can I show somebody the love that God has shown me, then throw it in the trash. That's the truth. And I don't mean to be strong with that, but that's the absolute truth. These things are here, and they're tools given to us so God can show us who we are, and then we need to use it. This isn't something like a test we take, and then we throw it in the trash, or we file it away, or like the boxes that we check in college so we can get that degree and then not go into a field that we got our bachelor's degree in. That's not the way God operates. Everything that we're learning is applicable. Everything. And we need to treat it as such. And I got to give this to Pastor Stephen because I will go on all night about this because I'm excited about this. I'm excited about growth. I'm excited about seeing you reach your potential. And I'm going to ask one more question, and I'll ask this as I ask Pastor Stephen to come up. And I want you to be thinking about this question because when he is finished tonight, we're going to give you a lot of time at your tables. And I want you to utilize this time not to talk about whatever's going on in your lives right now. That's important. But I want you to take this time as a group to be transparent with one another and be open and share and discuss these assessments. Or if you haven't taken them, maybe get some feedback from those who have. And the question I want you to ask yourself, is there anything that I just didn't understand about these assessments? Because we need to start defining those things that you don't understand. We need clarity. So for me, that's the word for tonight as it pertains to everything that you're going through with these assessments. It's clarity. I want you to gain clarity because I want you to see just as God sees in this important subject. And then with that, I'm going to give it to Pastor Stephen.
Thank you. All right. Well, guys, I'm going to jump right in because like Jeremiah said, we've got a lot for you guys tonight. This is a lot of information, but can I ask a favor? Here's what I want everybody to do. All the assessments, all the paperwork that you've got, and there's a lot of it tonight, put it all to the side. For the next 20 minutes, I want you just to engage, okay? Because what I want to share with you is just an encouragement to you guys. And so we're going to pick those back up in a minute, the assessments and what we got from you, what we're missing, all that kind of fun stuff. We'll take care of that. We'll get that clarity. But I really want to just encourage you guys tonight. And so jump into your notes. And we're going to talk about this idea of trust and obedience. How many of you just love those words? And those are some fun words sometimes, right? How many of you, your kids love the word obedience? They just get excited when you say the word obedience, right? Well, we're not a whole lot different as adults, right? We struggle with this idea of obedience many times too. But we're just going to jump right into the notes, and I believe in your notes, you guys have got these scriptures. I want to read a couple scriptures to you from Matthew chapter 4 and then Matthew chapter 9. And I want to introduce a few fellas to you in these scriptures that some of you know. You've read these before, but maybe you haven't. I don't know, but hopefully you have. But let me read chapter 4 of Matthew, verses 18 through 22 first, okay? And it says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. How many brothers? Two brothers. He saw Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. So it's Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, they're hanging out, and Jesus is walking along, and he comes in contact with these guys. It says they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Okay, so what did they do? Fishermen. That was their life. These guys were, this wasn't their hobby. This wasn't hanging out at Sam Rayburn and they just do it every once in a while and have a good time. This is their livelihood. This is what they do for a living. This is their everything when Jesus walks up. And in verse 19, it says this, Jesus looks at him and says, hey, you guys, come and follow me. That's all he says, right? He said to them, and I will make you fishers of men. So he immediately makes this connection with them. He knows that they're fishermen. He knows that that's their life. And he makes this connection and says, hey, come follow me. Come hang out with me. And I'll make you fishers of men, not just of fish, right? And I love this, verse 20. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Okay, we'll come back to that. Verse 21, going from there, right, he saw two other brothers. How many brothers? Two brothers. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. So it's James and John, two sets of two other brothers that he comes in contact with. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Now this is a little bit different. They're with somebody. The first two guys, they were casting their nets, they were fishing. But these two brothers, they're with who? Their father, right? And so I would imagine that dad, this was dad's business, and now he's passing it along to his sons. And again, this is not just their hobby. This is their life, okay? This is what they do for a living and everything else. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him, okay? Now jump over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to introduce you to another guy, very similar kind of story, but chapter 9, verse 9 in Matthew. It's the calling of Matthew, a guy named Matthew, okay? If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, cool. Verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. This guy, Matthew, was a tax collector. You may have heard this taught before, but tax collectors in that day and time, nobody liked them. And they didn't hurt for money. They had lots of money. A lot of times they stole the money and swindled the money, but they had money. They didn't lack for money. And so Matthew, he's there as a tax collector, but nobody likes him, right? He's kind of an outcast, right? And I don't think he cares too much because he's got lots of money. And he's just sitting there, and Jesus walks up, and Jesus sees this man, Matthew, sitting there at the tax collector's booth, and he says what? He says, follow me, he told him. And Matthew did what? He got up, and he followed him, right? Now, it just amazes me every time for years and years when I read this passage of these disciples in this situation and many others, that these guys, when Jesus walked up to them, they might have knew who he was and heard of Jesus at this point and heard kind of some stories about who this Jesus was, but he didn't seem to carry on a big conversation. He didn't seem to give this big explanation. He just said, hey, follow me. Come hang out with me. And in all three cases that we just read, no hesitation whatsoever. There's no doubt. They dropped what they're doing. They literally dropped their nets, their life, their everything to follow this guy that just said, hey, come follow me. Now, obviously, again, if they knew who Jesus was, and they probably did, and started to hear the stories, they knew he was special. He was something different. But yet, can you believe that? That they just dropped everything without hesitation, and they followed Jesus. This tax collector, Jesus didn't promise him more money. He didn't promise him a little contract, right? A job. He didn't promise the other guys a job, right? He didn't get in an argument with dad because they kind of just left dad hanging there. Poor Zebedee, right? He's hanging out like saying, wait, what? These are my boys. This is, you know, I'm passing this job on to them, this business, and you're taking my boys, right? They dropped it. No hesitation. No hesitation at all. And they followed Jesus. And tonight, we're talking about trust and obedience. Last week, Pastor Dan, I know he was in here and probably did an incredible job just talking to you guys about what? About calling, about pursuing the calling that God has for your life. Guys, a calling is not just for me, a pastor, right? You all have a calling, every single one of you. Just because you may not be a pastor on staff at a church in full-time ministry or part-time ministry does not mean that you don't have a calling. Every one of you have a calling. And many times that calling can be a little bit scary. It can be a little bit like, who, me, God? You want me to do this? Look at who God chose in the scriptures, right? A bunch of fishermen that didn't know how to do anything but fish. A tax collector who everybody did not like. He chose the most unlikely characters to come and follow him, and they followed him without hesitation. And so I'm a pretty unlikely character myself. And when I was 13, he said, hey, come follow me. Come follow me into ministry. And I hesitated. And there were other points in my life that I hesitated, but I followed him. And the thing is, guys, he's got the same calling for you. It may not be full-time ministry on staff at a church, but he's got a calling for you. And to follow and pursue that calling takes trust. It takes obedience. And so let's jump into that for a little bit tonight before we transition back to some of these assessments and kind of really clarifying where God is leading you guys at this point in your life. Obedience, when you look at a definition of the word obedience, it says this, following the commands or guidance of, to conform to or comply with, right? There's this idea of obedience. Obedience is the key condition of your relationship with God. Did you guys know that, right? We don't like this word obedience all the time, but that's what God is calling us to. And this world and the enemy of your life wants to do anything and everything he can to twist what God has done in your heart and in your life over the last few months, the last few years, no matter how long that you've been serving the Lord. And he plays with us, and he twists things in our minds. And we struggle to be fully and 100% obedient to the Lord because it's scary, some things that he asks us to do. Sometimes it's not scary. Sometimes it's just, I don't want to quit doing that. Because I enjoy that. Can we get real and transparent, right? It can be sin. It could be one of those little things, gray areas, that maybe it's not so much a bad thing, but yet we do so much of it that it gets more attention and more focus than the Lord does in our life. And he calls us to this radical obedience. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves you and he's got a calling on your life. He wants you to do incredible things through, just as Jeremiah was saying, the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have that only you have, right? He wants to use those for his glory, for his kingdom. And yet, if we're not obedient, we miss out on the blessing that comes from that. We miss out, and other people miss out because you're not using those gifts and those talents, not just here at Timber Creek Church. Yeah, we want you to use them here, but not just here. Also in your workplace, also in your sphere of influence every single day, every single week. It takes obedience. And think of obedience as a key. And many times we shove that key in our pocket. We come to know the Lord, but we take this key that we have in our pocket called obedience, and we don't use it. And we don't understand that if you unlock that door through obedience. Obedience is unlocking that door. It's that key condition to following God. There's something on the other side of that door, guys, that is just incredible. And we miss out on the blessings that come with it. We miss out on how it blesses other people. We miss out on things we never could have seen or imagined. Do we have to give up some things to open that door to obedience? Sometimes, yeah, we do. And some of those things hurt, and some of those things are difficult. Some of those things are relationships. Some of those things are very dear to our hearts and close to us. But I tell you what, none of those things can compare to what's on the other side of that door if you'll just unlock the door, which is obedience, right? Think of it as a key like that, right? Here's a few more things about obedience. Why is it so hard for us to be obedient when it comes to following God's leading in our life and our call for our life? Why do we hesitate? Because it's difficult, right? It requires deep commitment. Depending on what it may be, it requires a deep commitment. Can I tell you something? It never ends. There's after one difficult commitment to be obedient in one area, I'm not going to tell you that that's the only one you're going to face. You're going to face more. But with each opportunity to be obedient and be deeply committed to God and what he's calling you to do, it's going to give you the strength and the ability to do it the next time he asks you to be obedient with something challenging. Amen? Obedience is difficult. It requires a deep commitment, but it's so worth it. You know, it's tied to his lordship, really. When you think about Jesus, when you think about God, it's calling him Lord. It's this idea, his lordship demands your obedience. It demands my obedience, right? His lordship. I tell you this in Starting Point, everybody wants a savior, but not everybody wants a Lord. Yeah, Lord, God, save me in my desperate time of need. Yes, I'll ask you to come into my life. Save me. Save my situation. Save this desperate situation that I'm in. But then once we're saved, we stop there. And we don't realize the beauty and the blessing that comes when we say, okay, now, God, now that I'm saved, I want you to have it all. I want you to be Lord over my life. And his lordship, he's a jealous God. Because he loves us and his lordship demands obedience. And through obedience, you will fulfill the commands and the statutes. You must submit to him as Lord. If you move on to Grow Track 3, and I sure hope every single one of you do it, you're going to learn the whole tagline for Grow Track 3 is living lives of deep obedience that it cost us something. Woohoo! That's exciting, right? Don't let that scare you, though. Because you'll sit there and you'll hear teachings that speak to you know, basically, when you go through Grow Track, you know, the seed is planted in Grow Track 1, you know, and it begins to grow. You come into Grow Track 2, and it's really being watered, and it's growing, and it comes to full life. That's our heart for you. When you get into Grow Track 3, it's fully grown, and then God starts to chop. He starts to prune, right? You know, it's like the garden in your backyard or that tree. He begins to prune back the things. Why is he doing that? Because he loves you. Because your calling's becoming more clear, because he's like, hey, if I don't prune this over here and cut this back over here, if I do that, greater fruit's going to grow. You're going to be more healthy. You're going to be more of who I called you to be. If you'll just be obedient, if you'll just call me Lord, and you'll give me every pocket of your heart and of your life. You know, the word Lord, going back to that, it means master. And there's a correlative word to that word, master and Lord, that is connected to slave or bondservant. Now, the idea of slavery is interesting. Our modern understanding of slavery is pretty negative over the last few hundred years, right? We understand that, and with good reason. We understand it to be that a slave is one who is held against his or her own will, right, and has to do what he or she is told, and if not, they're going to suffer the consequences. Unfortunately, over the last few hundred years, that's how that's happened. And even further back, you read through the Bible, and there were moments like that, the Israelites being in slavery in Egypt. And so there is some negative thoughts to that. However, in Jesus' time, slavery was also similar at times to being a servant, right? It wasn't looked as a negative thing. People would sell themselves to another person in order to provide food for their family and put a roof over their head, right? And a slave in that setting, in that context, had but one desire. And that desire was to please and obey their master because it was a good master, a loving master who treated them with respect, right? A love slave of Jesus, as that, we should desire to do his will and obey his commands. And that's what I want, that I obey at that level and I trust at that level in my relationship with the Lord. Jesus must be first in every phase of your life and of my life. He must be before your ambitions, guys. He must be before your friendships and your relationships. I'll tell you right now, you go into Grow Track 3, we've got testimonies in there of how God spoke to some that I needed to cut some relationships off, even family relationships, because it was so unhealthy for me, and I knew that's what God was pruning, right? He must come before even unhealthy friendships and relationships. He must become before even family at times, even before life itself. Why? Because he's worth it. Because he's Lord. Because he's God. And he's got such an incredible plan for all of us. His lordship over you must take precedence over your wants, your desires, and your needs, right? And that's when he becomes Lord. Something else to remember is that obedience and this other topic of trust, they go hand in hand. They really, really do. And there's an old hymn of the church, an old song called Trust and Obey. Anybody grow up in church and hear that old hymn of the church, right? It's a good one. A hymn is a song for those who are kind of new. It's a worship song, a praise song. We used to have these hymnal books that were in the pew. And can I make a confession? When I was a little kid, I would go through the hymn book, and after every hymn, I'd say, up your nose. And so you would read it, trust and obey, up your nose. You turn the page, and I'll fly away, up your nose. Anyway, so that's what happens when you're a bored kid growing up in church, sitting in the pews on the floor. I don't know where I got that from, and forgive me, I don't even know why I shared that with y'all. But anyway, so if you're sitting under a bored preacher and you need something to do, and there's hymnals, you can do that. You can take every song and put up your nose at the end of it. Man, totally got off guard, sorry. So there's this great hymn of the church called Trust and Obey. And these words are placed together, and let me read verse 4 to you from that hymn. It says, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay, for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. There's so much that God has for us. You know, to give your heart to Jesus is the greatest decision that you can ever make. I don't want to downplay that at all. But he's not done there, guys. There's so much more that he has for us. And once salvation happens, in that instant, the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives and our hearts, and God calls us to a deeper obedience and trust in our relationship with him. So important. Your obedience is proven by your outward conduct. And it's when we fully, fully submit to his lordship and truly, truly obey, okay? Obedience and trust are going to ask you a few tough questions. And so I want you to write these down. They're in your notes. Here's a couple of tough questions that they ask you. Number one is, are you ready to take some risk? If you want to embrace obedience, if you want to embrace trust and the calling that God has on your life, are you ready to take some risk? Because being obedient may involve, most of the time involves taking some risk. I don't understand. I've said this before. You may have heard me say this. I just don't understand why people say that being a follower of Jesus Christ is boring or going to church is boring. Are there some boring churches? Yes. I'm so glad to be part of one that's not. But being a follower of Jesus Christ is not boring at all. The reasons it's boring is because of us. It's because of us. And if you're, it's because we're not taking risk. And if you're truly falling in love with Jesus, if you're truly spending extravagant time with Jesus and getting to know him in his word, he's going to speak to you. He's going to ask you to be obedient. He's going to ask you to trust him with some stuff that's a little bit scary. And I guarantee you it's an adventure. And I guarantee you there's a lot of you in the room that can testify to that, right? That it is. And it truly is an adventure to follow Jesus. And it's scary sometimes. But if we're obedient and we trust him, man, it's amazing. But we're people, and when you follow Jesus closely, you're presented with a challenge to take a risk. And most of the time, it scares us. It scares us to death sometimes, and we begin to come up with all sorts of reasons why we can't take those risks. But here's the deal. Taking risk is not boring. It's risky business, and I believe that the greatest risk that you and I can take is to take no risk at all. And I believe that some of you know what that risk is. God's asking you to take that risk, to take that step, that next step, whether it's right here at Timber Creek Church in some form or fashion or somewhere else. And the greatest risk we can take is to take no risk at all. When we take risk, we demonstrate our faith in God. And faith, guys, it's risky business. Faith embraces uncertainty. It's just the way it is, right? And this is uncomfortable for us because we don't know how it's going to what? We don't know how it's going to turn out. And that's scary sometimes. Maybe we'll fall flat on our face and this won't work out if I step out and I do this, right? It's a little scary. But what is that risk for you? Where do you need to be obedient? Is it starting that degree? Is it finishing that degree? Is it starting that business? Is it leading a Timber Creek Church group, right? You know, I've watched James Copeland step out this semester and lead a men's group, and it's growing each week, and he's just done an incredible job. And I remember sitting in my office, and he's like, am I ready for this? And I'm like, yeah, dude, you're ready for this. Yeah. But you took that risk, and there's been a great blessing through that, right? And is it Yeah, you're in his group. And becoming a team leader on a dream team. Maybe you've been a dream team member for a long time and you feel like God's kind of stirring in you that I've been doing this for a while and I want to be a leader. I want to be a team leader. Maybe it's going from a team leader to a coach. You know, maybe it's jumping on the starting point team. Amen, Miss Bonnie. Maybe it's the Grow Track team, right? Maybe it's the Encounter team. Maybe it's attending Encounter, finally, when you know you should be doing it and you're hearing all these great testimonies, right? Maybe it's following God's call into ministry, full-time ministry. Like, what? I'm too old for that. I can't do that. Yeah, you can. If you're just obedient and you trust the Lord, God's not done with you yet, right? Maybe it's following God's call into missions, right? Part-time, full-time ministry, whatever it may be. And if we're willing to take the risk and be obedient when he instructs you to do it, to get up and to go, then he's going to provide for every need you have along the way in that process. Okay? The next question is this. Do you have the courage? Do you have the courage to take those risks, to be obedient, and to trust? Because it takes courage to be obedient. I'm convinced tonight that the only thing between you and the plan, the calling that God's got for your life is just a small step of courage for some of you. And one courageous choice to be obedient may be the only thing between you and your calling, your dream that God's put in your heart, becoming a reality. And for some of you, it was a dream from a long, long, long time ago, and it sits up on a shelf like an old trophy or an old book and gets dust on it. And for some of you, it's just grabbing that dream back off the shelf, dusting it off, and saying, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to trust you with this. I'm ready to be obedient in this. And through the years in ministry and just in life, God has led me to be obedient in some spots that were just very scary. I've stopped saying never in ministry, right? Instead of saying I'll never do missions, I never thought I'd do that. And I ended up going to France for 2 years and moving my family there, right? Now I say I never want to live in Hawaii or Colorado. God never called me to the mountains of Colorado. Don't ever do that. He hasn't taken me up on that one. But I'm just telling you guys, you know, it's there's those moments that are scary when it comes to being fully obedient and fully trusting him. But what scares me the most is missing out on what God has for me and my family. And I tell you, if you don't hear anything else tonight, let your fear of missing out on God's plan be greater than your fear of stepping out in obedience and trust. Always, right? It might not make sense and probably won't make sense, okay? And you won't see what's around the corner. But if you'll just take that step and trust him, he's faithful. Most of us want absolute certainty before we step out in faith. We want that money-back guarantee. But it doesn't always work that way because that takes faith out of the equation, and it takes true faith, okay? Third question is this. Are you ready to be a kid again? All right? Are you ready to be a kid again? I got some great memories of growing up in Southeast Texas. I grew up in Beaumont, just 2 hours from here. Grew up in Silsby and Beaumont most of my life. And one of those memories from my childhood are lightning bugs. Amen? Love lightning bugs. We got them up here in Lufkin, too. And won't be long, and we'll start to see those little guys flying around as the sun's going down again. But I remember as a kid just chasing lightning bugs, trying to catch them. Anybody else do that? Get them in a jar and do that whole thing. And so I remember doing that, and I would play outside until dark almost every night just before my parents would make me come in. And I would chase these bugs and try to catch them. And life was so much easier back then, wasn't it? And we didn't have anything else to worry about. We didn't have anything else to be concerned about. No bills to pay. None of this, none of that. All we did was chase lightning bugs. I mean, that was just life back then. But here's the deal. We grow up. We get older. We still need something to chase. We still need something to chase. And as we get older, we forget that. And we get too busy and life distracts us, but we still need something to chase. And we grow up and we stop chasing lightning bugs, but we still need to chase no matter what age we are. I think of Sarah Houghton that's serving in Grow Track One. Y'all know Miss Sarah. How old is she? She's 81. And just coming and meeting me in my office last week and just saying, Pastor, I can't get enough of the Lord. I feel like I'm filled up to here. What do I do with this? I mean, she's so hungry for the Lord, but she's so hungry to serve too. And just, she's such a great example that she's still chasing lightning bugs at 81 years of age. And she's doing it. And what a great example to us. But that's the same for all of us. And I believe God is calling us to be obedient. He's also calling many of us to chase those dreams that maybe for some of you, you've forgotten. Or you think you messed up too much. you think, I took a path, my own path, I made some choices, and I really messed up. And certainly God's disqualified me from ever chasing that dream again. And that's a lie. That's a lie. It might not look the same as it did if you'd have chased it years before, but he's not done with you. And don't let the enemy lie to you about that. Maybe it's time to start chasing God and chasing your calling, those dreams for your life again. And the answer to all these questions is yes, right? It's going to take risk. You've got to have courage sometimes. And you get to be a kid again. But the answer to all these is yes. And remember that God is with us when we hear him, guys. He's with us when we hear him. He's right there with us when we listen to him, when he first calls us to something, right? He's right there with us when we respond, right? When we finally say, yes, God, I'm going to stop being disobedient in this, and I want to be obedient in whatever it is that you've laid out in front of me. He's there with us when we finally get up and go and take that step, right? And then finally, he's there with us when we obey. He's there with us every step of the process, every step of the way, when we're obedient and we trust him. So, what we want to do right now, and I feel like I've taken way too much time, man. I apologize. Let me kind of segue. This is so important to us, what we've talked about tonight, and it's all led up to this. And I know we're going to get into some of these, the clarity that Jeremiah, I almost called you Pastor Jeremiah, too. You know, Brother Jeremiah. This is so important to us. And when I say us, I mean here at Timber Creek Church, guys. This is so important to us, and we believe so much in the biblical mandate for all of us to pursue and fulfill God's call on our lives that we incorporated it into Grow Track 3, okay? What do I mean by that? Earlier tonight, we learned that God gives us, and last week, you talked about your shape, right? Amen. We all got a different, unique shape. Amen. But that acronym that Pastor Dan talked about, or if you were in Starting Point not too long ago, we talk about it there as well. God has given us this unique shape so that we will be equipped to fulfill the call on our lives. And as Christ followers, God's call on our lives is not optional. It's not, guys. You're not disqualified. You haven't messed up too much. Is it a detour and look different than maybe it would have? Yeah, maybe so. But God's, it's not optional. God's not done with you yet. So choosing to be a follower of Jesus means choosing to pursue his call for your life by trusting and obeying him. And therefore, in order, I want to say this, okay, as you're getting ready to transition, I know we got the summer coming up, but as you transition to Grow Track 3, in order to be part of Grow Track 3, you must be taking a next step in fulfilling your God-given potential by serving either on a dream team or on the Grow Track team or being a group leader. We want you serving somewhere. You're not allowed in Grow Track 3 if you're not serving somewhere. Now, that might sound harsh. In fact, I remember the first semester we had this, we had a guy that was like ticked off at us that we said that. How dare you tell me that I got to serve? Well, here's the deal. We don't want stuff from you. We don't want anything from you. We want everything for you here at Timber Creek Church. And I genuinely mean that. And Pastor Jeremy, I know his heart, and he genuinely means that. Yeah, that deals with your talent, your time, your treasure, your testimony, all of it. We don't want anything from you. We want everything for you. And so does God. And he's got a calling on your life. And if we don't lovingly nudge you and kick you, we don't kick any of you, but, shove you in that direction because we love you and say, take that next step. We're right here with you. And you try it out and you're like, well, that wasn't it. I thought I liked little kids, but I'm not going back to Kid Works. I do that every time. My wife's going to shoot me every time I say that. My wife, don't tell her I said that. My wife's the early childhood director, so I'm going to get in some serious trouble. And I got Kimber and I got Kim in here, so I'm in big trouble. Or whatever dream team it might be, let's help you find that other spot. But we want you to serve. Why? Because we want everything for you. And guys, there's something that gets activated when you serve. I don't know what it is about it, but you come to know Jesus, you get in Starting Point, you start getting in a Grow Track, and then you start serving on a team. There's something about that that just activates something and just more growth happens, right? And it's not about you filling a a spot here. Yeah, the buckets can't pass themselves. The coffee can't be made on its own. And, you know, the golf carts can't drive on their own. The instruments can't be played by themselves. But it's not about just filling a spot. It's about we want everything that God has for you. I truly, genuinely mean that. And so that's why we say that about Grow Track 3 as you go into this summer and start thinking about the fall. We would be doing you a disservice to all of you if we allowed you to keep learning and growing without sending you out. We really would. You know, I've stopped saying we're losing certain individual to Nacogdoches. I'm like, forgive me, God, for saying that. No, we're sending them. Kim, we're sending you out because Nacogdoches needs you. Those kids in Nacogdoches need you. Right? We'd be doing you a disservice by not sending you out. Just as Jesus sent the disciples out to go and make disciples and fulfill God's calling to do something with those gifts and those talents and those abilities that he'd given them, it's the same for you guys. Don't sit on those gifts. Can you show up on Sundays and just sit through an incredible message and incredible worship? Yeah, you can. And you can. We love you. Keep coming. But you are going to miss out on so much if you don't activate that stuff that comes through serving the Lord and getting in community with other people and doing what you're doing. So proud of you guys for going through Grow Track and just staying consistent with it. So I promise I'm finishing up. So this week, we want to make sure that we give you the opportunity to take the right next step. So as we jump into this group time here in a minute, some of you may be serving already. Raise your hand if you're serving somewhere already. I know a lot of you guys are, almost all of you guys. That's awesome. But let me just say this. But maybe you've sensed God stirring up a passion or a gift in you that's not being fulfilled in your current area of where you're serving. And that's okay. Continue to pray about that. And would you talk to your coach about that, your team leader? Let them know. Don't just take off. Let them know. Talk to them about it. Because they love you enough to encourage you in that. If you're not, your next step is to move into the area that does align with what God's calling you to do and the gifts that you have. And Miss Bonnie, that's why we brought her tonight. She's the Next Steps coordinator. She's the one who gets that baton from Starting Point or gets that baton from here and makes sure we get it straight to where you need to be, okay? The other one is some of you may not be serving at all or you just haven't served in a while. And that happens. You go through crazy seasons and we get it. But start serving again. Your next step is to respond to what God is speaking to you and begin serving, leading, fulfilling your God-given potential. And then finally, some of you may already be serving in your right lane. You're in the right spot. But here's your next step, is to go to another level. Some of you, you're scared because I think God's nudging you a little bit to step into a leadership role where maybe you've been a team member, but it's time to be a team leader. Because you've shown the ability, the capacity to begin to lead others because you know how to lead yourself well. And God's done a lot. And you don't want to say it out loud. But God's saying, hey, it's time for you to step out and step up and lead in a way, right? Remember, God wants to take us from glory to glory. He always has more for us. So no matter which category represents you and where you're at right now, where you're currently at, we are always called to remain open to what God may want to speak into our lives for now and in the future. Does that make sense to you guys? So what we want you to do, again, I'm going to be quiet and let you guys kind of talk at your tables and answer the question that Jeremiah had asked. You have at your tables these yellow spots. For whatever reason, we don't have results for you from your gifting test. For some of you, you may need to start that. You may not finish it tonight. Hey, if you're not going to finish that gifts assessment tonight, but begin the process, talk through it with your table. Some of you, hey, if you're one of those ones that's like, man, my assessment was always this, but man, I feel like God's starting to do this. Talk about that. Encourage each other in that. Look at that list. See if your gifts are on there. If they're not, we want to get you a packet, get you to fill it out so Miss Bonnie can take that and have it on file. And we just want to help you in that next step. Does that make sense to you guys? Awesome. So we're going to let you do that for a little bit here, okay?
All right. I still hear a lot of talking. And it's probably all about your shape assessments and how much you've learned about yourself tonight and how reflective you've been and Huh? Oh, yeah. I just changed jobs this week. So I'm trying not to do the clap twice if you hear my voice. You know, yeah. Clap once if you hear my voice. Mustache? No. Although that works better with adults than it does with kids most of the time. They love the mustache thing for some reason. I don't know. Have y'all ever heard that one? No. It works. They love the mustache for doing that. Now that I've got your attention, hey, let's close this out, guys. Hey, I know that y'all did not have near enough time to even scratch the surface of either completing your assessments or really digging into these assessments, but really what it is supposed to be kind of a catalyst to the work that you do on your own time. As I said earlier, this is a personal thing, but this is a personal thing that is done to enlarge and enhance the kingdom. So please view these things through that lens. View these things through the lens of the work that I put in here, the time that I spend reflecting on these assessments and what God has created inside of me and poured inside of me and given me. That's what I can use as my tools to go out and serve him and serve him well. Few announcements. Y'all know that we have the ladies and the men's conferences coming up. You can still go online. You can sign up for those. timbercreek.com/men/women. And then we know that there's some kind of a few services coming up. There's kind of a big part of, you know, the Christian year. What is that? Easter. Yeah. We're going to have like 5,000 people on the campus. No big deal. In that, and I know we're talking about serving, we have these cards. Serve, please. We know that pretty much everybody in here raised their hand. That's awesome. But we're going to need some extra service time if you can. I know myself, I'm going to be serving a couple times in areas that I'm not currently serving in just to help supplement. So if you can do that and you feel so inclined, please do that. We really need it. And there's going to be a ton of people. It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to welcome newcomers to this church, guests, and hopefully bring more people into this church. So anyway, please do that. With that, I appreciate y'all listening to us tonight. I appreciate you taking time to do these assessments. Please don't let it just be this 5 or 10 minutes you had. Please go home, do it. Finish it. Also, I said I wasn't going to call it the H word. Your soap. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what everybody thinks I'm going to do. That doesn't sound exactly like, yeah. Yeah, we're not going to call it that either because that's what we do after we study. And then we have to go study some more. After our activities, probably not good. That's not what we're gonna call it. We're gonna call it soap and scripture for a little while, and then we'll come up with something less, I don't know, sinful sounding. Anyway, well, hey, I just want to pray over here real quick, and then I want y'all to have a great weekend. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this night, God. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for camaraderie, God. We thank you for relationships. God, I thank you that over these last few weeks, God, that we've developed relationships that are greater than they were before, God. We've developed bonds. And I pray, God, that as we leave tonight, we have that clarity, or at least it's begun, God. The fog is starting to lift on what you've created us to do, God. I pray for each and every person in here that they don't see themselves as they feel that they are, God. Sometimes we view ourselves with the wrong lens, God. I pray that they take that lens off and they put your lens on and they see who they really are, God. They see who you've created them to be. And I thank you for this, God. I pray for each and every one as they leave it or not. I pray for their safety, and I pray for their upcoming end of their week and their weekend, God. Let it be a good one. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.